It is Tuesday, November 17th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. and French officials meet in Paris to increase pressure on the Islamic State following Friday's deadly attacks in the French capital.
Secretary of State John Kerry said that there will be discussions on the steps to increase efforts in combating Daesh.
Myanmar refugees in Thailand are hopeful but cautious following recent parliamentary elections, and hip-hop performer Puff Daddy releases a new mixtape. It's all ahead. France is continuing to respond following Friday's deadly attacks in Paris. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is in the French capital today for meetings with French President François Hollande. I'm joined by reporter Lisa Bryant, who is in Paris. Lisa, what have either Mr. Kerry or Mr. Hollande said following their talks today about these most recent deadly attacks in Paris?
Well, Secretary of State John Kerry spoke to reporters after meeting with President Hollande this morning. He says that the French president will be meeting President Barack Obama in about a week's time in Washington. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, President Hollande talked about ramping up a broad coalition to fight Islamic State, or Daesh, as he calls it. And Secretary of State John Kerry said that there will be discussions on the steps to increase efforts in combating Daesh. In the meantime, Mr. Hollande has also talked about holding talks with the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. And also today, Russia has confirmed that its airliner over the Sinai that crashed was indeed because of a bomb. So in other words, a terrorist attack. So a lot of development sort of on a higher level, all, however, targeting this concern about Islamist terrorists in the Middle East and Daesh in particular.
Also, I believe French Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve said today that a number of security raids have been carried out overnight.
Correct. I mean, there have been efforts both locally and internationally to ramp up the response. Locally, yes, the French authorities, French police have carried out dozens of more raids, arrested more than 100 people. Well, I should say some of these are house arrests. Others have actually been arrested around the country. And then sort of more internationally, France launched a second series of strikes against the Islamic State group in its stronghold, Syrian stronghold of Raqqa. So at the same time, there's also been a big security ramp up. The government now says that about 115,000, possibly more, police, gendarmes, and military are mobilized across the country. And this is in addition to a pretty high security that has been in France and in Paris in particular following January's terrorist attacks.
It seems, though, like the search for militants has been extended quite a bit to Belgium as well.
Yes, I mean, this is not new in some ways where you see strikes perhaps happening in France with support from apparent support from radical elements in Belgium. In this case, authorities suspect that the so-called eighth attacker of Friday's terrorist attacks was born in Belgium, has fled back across the border into Belgium. So the hunt continues for a 26-year-old Salah Abdeslam. He's one of three brothers who was believed to be involved in the attacks, although one of the brothers was released from police custody, claims he has no understanding, no knowledge of what happened. The other brother is dead, was a suicide bomber. There's also a hunt underway to find out the whereabouts of Belgian jihadist Abdelhamid Abaoud. He is based, authorities believe, in Syria, and he may have been the mastermind of the attacks.
All right. Thanks very much, Lisa. That's Lisa Bryant reporting from Paris.
Thank you, Sarah.
My colleague Susan Yockey has been checking on social media to see what's trending concerning the attacks in Paris, And she joins me here in the studio. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Sarah, everyone. A headline on The Economist says Paris's Muslims and Jews are now more anxious than ever. It quotes Abdel Manal, recently arrived in Paris from Aleppo, as saying, "The attacks will only make people blame us, though we're escaping IS ourselves." NPR reports refugee advocates don't seem particularly concerned that U.S. governors will be able to make good on their calls to ban Syrian refugees from their states. It notes that Mark Hetfield, president and CEO of HIAS, a major refugee resettlement organization, says, quote, "A state cannot shut its doors to refugees, let alone refugees of a specific nationality." NPR notes that if immigration observers believe states won't be able to shut their doors, they do nonetheless see a potential casualty of security concerns over refugees, the effort to reduce the long processing time for asylum applications. The Voice of America website reports U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said today the Islamic State group will feel even greater pressure in the coming weeks as the United States, France, and other allies increase their efforts against the militants. The official spoke in Paris after meeting with French President François Hollande and discussing different ways in which their governments can be more effective in battling the Islamic State, as we just heard in the previous report. Amy Chozick writes in the New York Times that the terrorist attacks in Paris and a U.S. presidential election that has suddenly taken a turn toward foreign policy have complicated Hillary Clinton's strategy to aligning herself closely with President Obama. On Saturday, in the second Democratic debate, Ms. Clinton declined to directly respond to a question about whether she thought Mr. Obama had underestimated the Islamic State. But the Times says she did contradict Mr. Obama's comments, made in a television interview recorded a day before the attacks, that the Islamic State had been contained in Iraq and Syria. Sarah?
Thanks very much, Susan. That's International Edition's Susan Yaki. Well, before leaving the G20 summit in Turkey for a meeting of APEC members in the Philippines Monday, President Obama, in the wake of the Paris attacks, reaffirmed his intention to intensify the existing strategy in Iraq and Syria by degrading and destroying the Islamic State group. He dismissed calls for a larger U.S. military presence in the region.
We have the finest military in the world, and we have the finest military minds in the world. And I've been meeting with them intensively for years now, discussing these various options. It is not just my view, but the view of my closest military and civilian advisors. That would be a mistake. Not because our military could not march into Mosul or Raqqa or Ramadi and temporarily clear out ISIL, but because we would see a repetition of what we've seen before, which is if you do not have local populations that are committed to inclusive governance and who are pushing back against ideological extremes, that they resurface, unless we're prepared to have a permanent occupation of these countries.
Mr. Obama says he prefers the strategy of going after targets, limiting wherever possible the capabilities of ISIL, systematically going after their leadership, their infrastructure, strengthening Syrian, Iraqi, and Kurdish forces that are prepared to fight them, cutting off their borders, and squeezing the space in which they can operate until ultimately they're defeated. However, a member of his own Democratic Party, Senator Dianne Feinstein, ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, told NBC News Monday that strategy isn't enough.
I read the intelligence faithfully. ISIL is not contained. ISIL is expanding. They've just put out a video saying it is their intent to attack this country. And I think we have to be prepared. Hopefully, France will go for a Chapter 5, which will bring NATO into it. Hopefully, we will work with our allies to put together the kind of coalitions and attack plans in more than one place at a given time. There's only one way we're going to diminish them, and that is by taking them out, because they are growing. They are in more than a dozen countries now. They are sophisticated. So we should take this very, very seriously.
Senator Feinstein says the 8,000 airstrikes aimed at IS targets haven't been sufficient. suggesting cooperation with Russia and Iran may be necessary in search of a political settlement in Syria. Ken Sanderson, director of the Transnational Threats Program at the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty a middle course between the president's current strategy and a full-blown U.S. intervention may be necessary.
The president certainly has a point. I'm not sure what large commitment to forces will do inside Syria for those who are suggesting we do that. I do think there is more we can do. It brings tremendous risk with it, but also the potential to more significantly degrade ISIS.
Well, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, a prominent member of the Intelligence Committee, implies that the Obama administration isn't doing enough. She has suggested on U.S. television that they involve some sort of special operations forces on the ground, as well as intensified airstrikes. Do you think that might be a more effective strategy?
I do. The airstrikes will be greatly improved if we have our own guys on the ground developing intelligence for targeting. I think we do need to have some looser rules of engagement for special operations forces who can go in and both engage in direct action against ISIS forces, as well as help provide intelligence for improved airstrikes. That is one area where we can definitely increase activity, but again, it does carry risks with it.
What about the introduction of some sort of ground forces? Would you keep it at special operations? Is the president trying to avoid a repeat of what happened in Iraq?
He is trying to avoid a repeat of what happened to Iraq, and that is a good plan. However, you do need to face facts here that we have a tremendously resilient, versatile, talented adversary that does need to be on the receiving end of greater U.S. forces. We should also be bringing in other multinational forces to help with this. But we do need better intelligence. That requires, one, putting more of our guys on the ground, CIA case officers and special operations forces and foreign air controllers, to make this a more potent air-led campaign. But it also potentially means engaging some unsavory characters in the field, which can provide some very good intelligence, very good insight, but which could also cause a lot of harm by guiding attacks against civilians or against adversaries that we don't necessarily want to attack.
Well, Tom, do you think this is under consideration within the Obama administration now?
Oh, sure. I think everything but a major troop commitment is under consideration. And as we've seen, you know, even Republicans say, this is not about sending in the 101st Airborne to kick down doors. We know it would be an unbelievable mess that they would enter, and we would have Iraq all over again. We do not want that. It is not a pathway to victory. But we do need to put more of the Delta Force teams, the Special Forces A teams, the Navy SEAL teams, Rangers, and others against these forces in order to gain some advantage against them.
That's Tom Sanderson of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He sees greater French-U.S. cooperation in special operations and intelligence gathering against the Islamic State, and he says they could even gain greater Russian cooperation to target the IS group, but says Moscow will not abandon its strategy of attacking all opponents of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Earlier Tuesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin vowed his own intensified efforts in Syria after his government security chief acknowledged terrorism in the form of an improvised explosive device brought down that Metrojet A321 last month on a flight from Sinai to St. Petersburg, Russia, killing all 224 people on board. This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
A couple of British scientists have found that winds of over 2 kilometers per second are blowing around HD 189-733b, an exoplanet located about 63 light years away from us. According to the researchers, the exoplanet's wind speed is about 7 times the speed of sound and is 20 times greater than the fastest wind speed ever known here on Earth. The scientists used data from the high-accuracy radial velocity planet searcher, or HARPS. It's a high-resolution spectrograph device at the European Southern Observatory's La Silla telescope in Chile. The information allowed the researchers to gauge and map the planet's wind speed. They say it's the first time a weather system of a planet outside of our own solar system has been measured and mapped directly. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, Pup Daddy has a new mixtape. Tens of thousands of Burmese refugees living in Thailand are more optimistic about returning following the November 8th election wins of the National League for Democracy led by Aung San Suu Kyi. But as Ron Corbin reports for VOA, officials say many who fled decades of conflict in Myanmar remain cautious.
Myanmar has faced years of internal conflict as myriad ethnic armies waged war against the military-led government in a bid for autonomy, sending more than 120,000 refugees fleeing. Many live in several camps along Thailand's western border. Many have seen little chance for returning home. But the November 8 election of the National League for Democracy, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, has changed that outlook. Many in the camps have long supported Suu Kyi and deeply opposed the military government. Sally Thompson, who has worked in programs assisting the refugees for over 20 years and is now director of the non-government Burma Border Consortium, says the election result foreshadows a time when the refugee camps eventually will be closed.
There's certainly, I think we have to say, that there's definitely an understanding now that the situation, the camps will not be there indefinitely, that the situation inside the country is changing and that return is likely in the near future. Yes, it at last, it is a possibility, but exactly when that will be, there is no one right time. There will be a different time for different communities.
But Thompson says many refugees remain hesitant, their concerns lying with security and safety in regions long engulfed by conflict.
They're still very much looking to see will there be security. They're thinking about their own protection themselves, their families, the issues on land and livelihoods. There are many issues that need to be resolved before people are really ready to return.
Recent ceasefire agreements among President Thein Sein and eight armed ethnic groups added to the positive climate. But the October agreement fell short, with seven of the 15 armed groups declining to sign on amid mistrust with the government and the military. Since the election, several groups who refused to sign say they are more willing to participate in future talks with the NLD-led government. But some analysts remain pessimistic over conflict ending in key regions, as the new government, due to take power, must still deal with Myanmar's powerful army. Vivian Tan, regional spokesperson for the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, UNHCR, says the ceasefire agreements will be key in the refugees' decision-making of returning to Burma.
The national ceasefire agreement is just as important, if not more important, for the refugees, because they really want to see that the provisions of this agreement are upheld, that, you know, there is a firm end to the conflict so that they can resume their lives back home.
The UNHCR's position, says Tan, is for the refugees to return voluntarily, backed by continuing support from international donors. But aid groups say some donor nations that have long financially supported the camps are already reducing aid, hastening the time when the camps will close. Tan says many refugees facing problems as documentation and identity may be unable to go back to Myanmar and will need instead to seek resettlement in Thailand or another country. More than 60,000 Burmese refugees living in Thailand since 2005 have been resettled in third countries, some 50,000 being settled in the United States alone. Ron Corbin for VOA News, Bangkok, Thailand.
This is VOA. Hip-hop entrepreneur Puff Daddy has released a new mixtape, and he's offering it free of charge. International Edition's David Byrd spoke with VOA Soul Lounge host Sean Renee about the tape Money-Making Mitch and what's next for the 46-year-old music mogul.
A mixtape usually means you're going to get the artist plus a lot of cameos, guest appearances. It also implies that much of what you're hearing is probably freestyle, was created on the spot, not really thought out, didn't really go through the entire process that one goes through when creating an album. He has another album that will be dropping, No Way Out 2, which he says will be his final album. But Money Making Mitch, this is the mixtape to kind of wet our palates, if you will. And he's asked Lil' Kim and Wiz Khalifa, who is huge now, French Montana, Jadakiss, Future, who is very big, and Pharrell offered up their services as producers. So in listening to this, it sounds very updated, very contemporary, which says a lot for a man who has been in the game now for 20 plus years.
Money Making Mitch is this fairy tale, you know, about this fly from Harlem that came up and he did his thing, man. He was shining on him, styling on him, showing him how to do it, showing him how to get it. Maybe he was getting it the wrong way, but you know, the fairy tale of it is most brothers and sisters end up dead or in jail.
Now, this character, or this money-making Mitch character, is actually based on Mekhi Phifer's character from a movie, right?
From the movie Paid in Full. And so he essentially takes the character and kind of flushes him out. And sort of like Puffy, he talks about, in this mixtape, growing up in Harlem, being a hustler, then becoming an entrepreneur, making it against all odds. So it's based on that character, but it is also based on his own experience.
Some of the tracks, it's interesting. I listened to a few of the tracks because it's streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really, really nice. Some of them, you know, very, very smooth. And some of them are a little bit more in your face.
Yeah, that's the mixtape. That's what the mixtape will give you, a mixture of all kinds of different things. And, you know, again, Puffy has always said, he contends always that he's an entertainer. And so he's never been afraid to talk about the fact that he works with ghostwriters. He's never been afraid to admit that he works in a very collaborative way with producers and other artists. So he is there purely to entertain you. And so whatever he's feeling at the moment or whatever he thinks the times call for, that's what he's giving you, which is slightly different maybe from other artists.
And it always helps when you can call Pharrell on the phone and say, can you come help me produce this thing?
Exactly.
Well, if you have any questions or comments about Money Making Mitch or about Puff Daddy, you can send a tweet to Shauna. She's at VOA Lady DJ. You can also send one to us. We are at VOA underscore IE. And you can log on to our website. That's voanews.com.
For some time now, and I don't know what it is, but
and that's our show for today. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The American people stand in solidarity with the people of France in the wake of the recent and tragic terror attack in Paris. 129 people were killed in a string of coordinated assaults across the city Friday evening. U.S. President Barack Obama called the attacks an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians.
This is an attack not just on Paris. It's an attack not just on the people of France, but this is an attack on all of humanity and the universal values that we share.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry echoed the president's remarks, noting these are heinous, evil, vile acts. Those of us who can must do everything in our power to fight back against what can only be considered an assault on our common humanity. France is our oldest ally, said President Obama. The French people have stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States time and again. President Obama noted that the American people draw strength from the French people's commitment to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness.
Now, we want to be very clear that we stand together with them in the fight against terrorism and extremism. We're going to do whatever it takes to work with the French people and with nations around the world to bring these terrorists to justice and to go after any terrorist networks that go after our people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.